Hello and welcome to The Lancet's In Conversation With podcast. I'm your host Callum Davidson and it's our December 9th issue. This week we're discussing umbilical cord clamping strategies at preterm birth following the publication of two papers in our December 9th issue. The first paper is entitled Deferred Cord Clamping, Cord Milking, and Immediate Cord Clamping at Preterm Birth, a Systematic Review and Individual Participant Data Meta-Analysis. And the second is entitled Short, Medium, and Long Deferral of Umbilical Cord Clamping compared with umbilical cord milking and immediate clamping at preterm birth, a systematic review and network meta-analysis with individual participant data. Joining us to discuss these studies and their implications is lead author Dr. Anna Lena Zeidler, who goes by Lena. So welcome, Lena. Can I start by asking you just to introduce yourself?
Hi, and thanks for having me. I'm Anna-Lena Zeidler, and I'm a senior research fellow at the NHMSC Clinical Trial Centre at the University of Sydney in Australia.
Wonderful. So before we dive into your research, it would be great if you could just help provide our listeners with a brief overview of the background to your papers, so how umbilical cord clamping works, things like when it's currently used, who it benefits, and how it benefits them.
Yes, so the umbilical cord, as I'm sure most listeners will be aware, connects the baby and the mother via the placenta and transports blood, oxygen, and nutrients. Now, until recently, when the baby was born, what doctors would do is they would clamp the cord quite quickly, particularly if the baby was born prematurely, the cord would be clamped quickly and the baby would be rushed aside so the baby could then be supported. Now, in recent years, doctors have started to realize that babies may actually benefit from staying connected to the umbilical cord for a little bit longer. So they started with 30 seconds and now have gone to a minute or two. So blood flow can continue whilst transitioning to breathing. Now, currently, guidelines vary on this a little. So while from term infants, this is now recommended practice, in preterm infants, some guidelines say maybe we wait 30 seconds, others say wait up to a minute or even a little bit more. There's a lot of uncertainty what to do about babies requiring immediate care, and others even recommend potentially milking the umbilical cord, so trying to push blood from the placenta to the baby and then being able to cut quicker. So whilst there's some understanding currently in the guidelines that doing something with the umbilical cords at preterm birth may be good for the baby, what exactly to do was still unclear.
So can I ask you then, what were your specific research questions that you decided to ask?
Yes, so in recent years, we've seen lots of different approaches to umbilical cord management emerge for preterm babies. So we've seen some clinicians wait 30 seconds, some a minute, some trying to milk the cord, so squeeze the blood from the placenta to the baby, and we wanted to know which one of these works best and do different strategies work for different babies. So we may expect a baby born at 24 weeks to react quite differently to one born at maybe 33 weeks, so a lot closer to term.
And why was it that you felt that it was important to ask these research questions? What do you think the kind of clinical benefit would be of answering the questions?
A lot of babies are born prematurely worldwide every year. So almost 13 million babies are born too early every year. And sadly, almost 1 million of those dies. And even the ones that survive often have lifelong health consequences. So having an easy, low-tech intervention that may give these babies a fighting chance is very important.
And these studies obviously stand to inform guidelines, which presumably are likely to change as a result of what you found in your studies.
Yeah, exactly. So we're already talking to international guideline panels on how to best integrate these findings into their guidelines. So we should see guidelines based on this research emerge as early next year. So this is very exciting that this research will hopefully very quickly inform how babies are being looked after in clinical practice around the world.
How was it you decided to address these questions then? What research methodology did you select?
So we decided to bring together all the studies that had been conducted in this field and to ask them for their raw data sets, to then be able to bring all of these data sets together in what we call an individual participant data meta-analysis. So we did that by first searching for studies, systematically searching the literature and then contacting researchers around the world and asking them to share their data. And we did two studies with these data sets. The first study looked at whether waiting to clamp the cord or milking the cord had any benefits for babies, and looking at these different types of babies. And the second study then looked into those different interventions in a lot more detail. So different timings, is 1 minute better than 2 minutes or the other way around, and so on.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's very clear reading the papers, one sort of precedes the other, doesn't it? When we're looking at the deferred cord clamping, cord milking and immediate cord clamping paper, that establishes the deferred clearly seems to be the preferred approach. But then the short, medium and long deferral paper goes into a little more detail on what specifically is the best thing to do timings wise. So what were the key findings of your two papers then? And sort of secondly, what are the major implications for clinical practice?
Yes, so we managed to bring together about 60 studies with almost 10,000 infants, giving us a really rich data set to answer these questions with. And in the first study, we found that waiting to clamp the cord reduces mortality, so reduces death in babies born prematurely. And we also found that this finding was quite consistent for different groups of babies. So what I've talked about previously, that we thought maybe a 24-week-old baby reacts differently to a 33-week-old baby, that was not the case. So we found all different modes of birth, whether it was a cesarean section or not. So it was quite astounding how consistent our finding was across different groups. And then the second study, we found that waiting longer seemed to improve these survival benefits even further. So we had studies that waited for over 2 minutes. Those babies that got these long deferral times seem to be doing the best.
Obviously, there have been previous kind of systematic reviews of trials that have looked at this question. What is it about your particular meta-analyses that you think provides a substantial advance over previous work?
Yeah, so what's different and what we did is that we brought together the raw data sets. So usually meta-analyses scrape data from the published literature, and that has limitations because we only have as much information as authors provide us. We have these average effect estimates, whereas what we did is we actually went back to the original study authors and invited them to collaborate and share their data with us. Now, that enabled us to really check the data sets in a lot more detail, to have a lot more information on each of these babies, and to use much more advanced statistical methods to analyze our research questions. The other benefits coming from that, though, also was that we actually collaborated with all the study authors. So we had this really large collaboration of researchers and experts around the world providing input into how to ask the research question and how to interpret the data, which was fantastic.
Brilliant. Yes, I'm sure that's also been very reassuring to policymakers who are likely to read this paper. And yeah, hopefully it will inform guidelines going forward. So that's a huge strength of the work. But as with any research, there are going to be limitations. So are there any sort of key limitations or nuanced aspects of the papers that you feel it's important to highlight?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. So one thing I was really excited about when I started on this research project is how this is a low-tech intervention that I thought could have massive benefits in low-resource settings, because we have so many babies born prematurely around the world every year. A lot of them die. So almost 1 million babies die. And unfortunately, a lot of those die in settings with limited resources. So I was excited because I thought this intervention could have major benefit in these settings. And I saw that there were studies conducted in some low- and middle-income countries as well that were willing to share their data with me. Now, when looking into these studies in more detail, though, I found that all of them were conducted in highly resourced settings. So even though some of them were in low- and middle-income countries, they were all in specialized hospitals that had a neonatal intensive care unit available. So unfortunately, we cannot generalize our findings to settings with limited resources. And that's something I'd really like to see some further research in, because ideally this intervention could really help those babies as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely an important aspect to highlight. So the implications for preterm infants are clear. But is there any evidence to shed light on mothers' experiences of deferred cord clamping? Mothers and parents in general, but specifically mothers first, I think.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's really important to communicate these procedures well with mothers and make sure they are on board. There is fairly limited research on this, so I would really like to see much more happening. But the research that is out there shows that mothers generally report very positive experiences. So they enjoy being connected for their baby to their baby for longer. They enjoy having their baby close to them. Previously, the cord was cut and the baby was rushed aside, whereas now they can kind of stay closer and connect their baby a bit longer. So generally, parents' experiences have been positive from the research that has been done on this.
It's great to hear. So it was a bit beyond the scope of your present studies, although you do discuss it a little at the end of the papers. But I wondered if you could share your thoughts on how deferred cord clamping can actually be implemented in these preterm infants, particularly given that such infants often require intensive care at birth. So there's likely to be some major challenges in actually, you know, deferring this cord clamping. So what do you anticipate those challenges being?
Yes, so I think one thing that's really important and that's often misunderstood around waiting to clamp the cord is that it doesn't mean just leaving the baby there, potentially struggling to breathe, and waiting and watching with a stopwatch. But instead, when we're implementing deferred cord clamping, it's really important to provide initial care to the baby with a cord intact. And that requires some more coordination and multidisciplinary teams than traditional care. So it's really important to wrap and dry the baby, to make sure the baby is breathing, to stimulate it. And there are even now some studies that try to provide oxygen or initial resuscitation with a cord intact. So it's really about making sure the baby is doing well and cared for. Now that's particularly important because one of the few risks we found with this intervention is the baby developing hypothermia, so becoming too cool. I think it's really important to make sure that is being prevented by looking after the baby well.
And you've already spoken a little bit to my last question, but what's next for research in this topic? What kind of key evidence are we still lacking? Where's the field going next?
Yeah, so there are two questions that we are still looking at the moment together with our collaborators. And one of them is we really want to know how do these babies do 2 years later? So how does cord clamping affect longer-term health and neurodevelopmental outcomes? Because we know babies born too early do a little bit more poorly health-wise, and we want to see whether maybe deferring to clamp the cord has a longer-term benefit as well. The other research question we are really interested in, and I already briefly mentioned that before, is what to do about babies that are really struggling, that are assessed as requiring resuscitation. There's some promising initial evidence that infants requiring resuscitation can receive that with a cord intact, but there's not enough evidence out there yet to recommend that. There's some large studies currently ongoing on that, and I'm really looking forward to receiving their data and being able to integrate them with our database to then be able to help these infants that are struggling most.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a really clear overview of two fantastic papers that stand to make a really profound difference to care of these preterm infants. So thank you so much, Lena, for joining us today. We've heard about strong evidence these two new studies provide indicating that deferred cord clamping reduces death before discharge for preterm infants, and that longer deferral is likely the best strategy, providing provisions are in place to ensure appropriate care. You can read both these papers now and the accompanying comment by Stephen Wood on thelancet.com. Please remember to also subscribe to The Lancet's In Conversation With wherever you normally get your podcasts. And thank you for listening.